Hi, welcome. This is CaddyInfo.com Cadillac Chat. We do these on Thursday nights. I don't see any of the other kids online at the moment, so we'll be very short tonight. I did get a note from Frank who asked, he has a 1985 Cadillac Eldorado, which unfortunately has blown the head gasket. And so he was asking, how much might he ask for his Eldorado as a parts car? And so the way I would go about trying to figure that out, of course, you could just ask how much, ask a number and see what buyers say, but buyers are always going to come in and offer you a quarter or half of what it's worth. So the way I went about trying to figure that out is Hagerty actually has a value guide, and I'll list that guide in the topic responses to the video. So if you go to caddyinfo.com, go to the forums, find tonight's video, then and there I'll put the links for this topic. So Hagerty has a value guide, and in the Hagerty value guide, a 1985 Eldorado is worth in between $1,500 in fair condition up to about $8,000 if it was really in super condition, like show car condition. $8,500 if it was in excellent, or $10,700 in Concours condition. And they've held their value pretty well. You know, cars depreciate to a certain point, and then they're basically, as they become antiques, they basically keep going at that point. Okay, so if you were to go to not to the dealer. If you go to the dealer, an engine exchange, the engine repair or the engine replacement would be very expensive. But if you go to, a independent, then I think the least expensive that you could just have the head gasket repaired is probably $1,500, which is also similar to if you just brought them a rebuilt engine and asked them to remove and replace. Then you'd probably be about $2,000. So if you take the current value of the car, so if the car were in fair condition except for the engine, then $1,500, $2,000 for the car, but you have a $1,500 repair. So I would say ask $500 for the car as a parts car. Now, the way you can actually offset that is if you look to see which parts on the 85 Eldorado are hard to get, which trim pieces and so on are really difficult to obtain anymore, then what you'd want to do is offer those for sale individually on eBay or your favorite other for sale site. And then after you've sold off anything that seems choice, then sell the rest of the car. Because, you know, when you're talking about just selling it for metal and so on, then the salvage value doesn't change if you take off a few expensive items. Of course, entirely the whole point to parting out a car is frequently cars are more valuable parted out than they are sold as a whole. Mike, welcome. How are you?
Hi, Bruce. I'm good.
I've just given a long soliloquy answer to a question you're not prepared for, so let me ask you out of the blue. A gentleman on Google Plus sent me a note asking, he owns a 1985 Cadillac Eldorado, Frankie owns a 1985 Cadillac Eldorado, and the head gasket has blown. And so her question was, how much should she ask for it as a parts car? Now, Mike hasn't heard my answer. He'll hear it later. But, an 85 Cadillac Eldorado.
Oh, man, I'm having a hard time visualizing the 85 Eldorado.
Yeah, I also included a link, an image of it on the website when we get to the end here. Actually, I put the link to the Hagerty site, and they have images of the car. It looked a lot like the later Eldorado. It looked like had some of the front end shaping of the Seville. So but it looks a lot like, I don't know. It's a handsome car.
Okay, yes, I just Googled one. I know what it looks like.
Yeah.
And she wants to know what it's worth as a parts car?
Well, yeah, the head gasket's blown. And in 1985, they would have had the 4.1 liter probably, right?
I wouldn't have a clue. I'm not going to have a good idea of a price either.
Well, it could have the diesel engine or the 4.1 liter at 125 or 135 horsepower. Okay, so you have to name a price. Name that price, Air Mike.
$550.
Now, that's surprisingly within $50 of what I suggested, using a slightly almost the same non-scientific approach. But what I said is, if you go out to Hagerty is actually a place that values antique cars, as well as, you know, you can't go to KBB and some of the other Blue Book anymore and get a value for an 85, because it just depends too much on the condition. But Hagerty has a value guide, and what they say is a fair condition Eldorado, 85 Eldorado, is worth $2,000. And I deducted $1,500 for the fact that the head gasket was blown. Because if you go to Barkasi or to another independent mechanic, the least expensive I've seen, the head gasket replacement was $1,500. And those are on the North Stars. That when you, the problem with the 4.1 liter is the head gasket was almost a maintenance item on it, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't think it'd be real.
The block was not very rigid. Well, the block was not very rigid, and so once you get the head gasket replaced, it's just a matter of time until you probably is going to need it again. Of course, if you're not driving the 85 Eldorado every day, if it's just a weekend car or a show car, it could last for years.
Surely it's good for 75,000 miles if you were driving it daily.
Now, the other thing is, she didn't note how many miles she had on it. The other thing is, some of the remanufactured 4.1 liters actually went back and corrected the issues that Cadillac ran into originally with them, and I think they have become much more reliable rebuilt engines than they were new. I was reading that from one of the rebuild sites where they said, you know, the fundamental problems the engine had were A, B, C, and D, and what they've done to address that is this, 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 and that. And so the rebuild engine could actually be more reliable than your brand new 4.1 liter. And then, God forbid, if you have the 350 gas, the diesels that gave Cadillac such a famous reputation and caused GM to not build diesels again for 20 years. And even then, they bought them from someone else. So oddly enough, we both arrived at $500. Now our friend Cadillac Jim might say higher. I think he always thinks I'm going too low on selling things, but $1,500 is our advice for Jackie. I'm getting the name wrong again, aren't I? And darn it, I closed the window where I was reading her name.
Frankie?
See, you have a better recall for that than I do.
Okay.
Yep, for Frankie. I did send her a message back. So, Frankie, if you're watching, I am so sorry that I keep butchering your name and gender. Cadillac said this week that they're having the move to New York was a good idea. They're enjoying the separation from the headquarters in Detroit, and they're managing to attract the people that they want, that they were hoping to attract when they went to New York. And so, yay, but it's working out well for them. Now, they're still, part of the appeal, according to the design boss, was in New York, you can attract some talent that wouldn't necessarily have thought of going into the automotive industry. You know, around Detroit, everybody dreams of working on cars, right? But in New York, you have designers that they were trying to design something else and ended up coming to work for Cadillac instead. Mike, have you got something you're getting set? Should I pause?
I'm getting distracted over here. I was on texting Cadillac dealership whenever you.
Oh, well, good.
That's why I was tardy.
Are you finding out the So do you have a Cadillac story that involves texting your dealership?
No, I found one to buy, but I ain't going to buy it. It's new still. It's not going to happen. I have to check it out, though.
Okay. Yeah, Tim Carroll said he and his friendly mechanic went out to a local Cadillac dealer and test drove an ATS-V. So we'll have to wait and hear his ATS-V story.
My wife mentioned trading her Mustang off the other day. And if I did trade it off for one, I'd have to get an automatic. And if I got one for me, I'd have to get a standard. And I don't really expect that to happen.
Can she trade for one of the other six cars in the garage?
Oh, yeah, I could trade one of the Oh, for her trade?
Yeah, couldn't she just start driving one of those? Or they're all spoken for.
Oh, I'd have to give her the new car to drive, I'm sure.
Oh, so she'd get the XLRV? Is that the newest
one? The ATS, if we got one. If I traded her car off, she'd have to drive the ATS.
Oh, I see. Well, there you go.
So it'd have to be an automatic, you see.
Yes. But tell me again the six cars in the garage that aren't her Mustang. There's the XLR, and then you have like a Camaro, right?
2000 Trans Am.
Trans Am.
STS.
The STS.
That's all that's there now. Well, the 05 Grand Prix, her daughter has taken.
So we're down to four. So is the STS ready for her to drive?
No.
No.
It's on the list getting the air conditioner repaired.
Okay. Now, do you do that air conditioning work too?
Well, I'm supposed to be, except I'm in here on the computer.
Oh, I see. But you're capable of doing air conditioning work too, I guess was the intent of my question.
Yes, I can get it done.
Now, I don't remember this whole story, but in 1987, so almost 30 years ago, Donald Trump was working with Cadillac on what was going to be the most opulent stretch limousine ever made. Do you remember this story?
I have not heard this story.
So Auto News had they have an article on this topic, but yeah, it was going to be, Trump said that the head of Cadillac at the time, who was Grettenberger, approached him with the idea of developing a super stretch, super deluxe Cadillac bearing the Trump name. So they were going to have the Trump Golden Series and the Trump Executive Series, where the Golden Series was a bit more lavish than the Executive Series. And they sent him a gold Cadillac Elante as a gift while he waited for the limousine to get built. So they were unveiled in Atlantic City in 1988 with Italian leather upholstery, wool carpeting, TV and VCR, fax machine, paper shredder, writing desk, and a cell phone. In 1988, a cell phone.
And Trump, I wonder, that would be a satellite phone or a real cell phone?
Yeah, bag phone, right? You can
that seems early for that, doesn't it?
It seems, they probably mean a car phone.
I had a bag phone when they first came out. Can't remember when it was.
Now, in his book, Mr. Grettenberger remembered this differently. He remembered Trump pitching the idea of co-sponsoring a limo to be built by a conversion company in Long Island. So that Trump would design the interior and then allow Cadillac to use Trump's name in promotional activities. And in the process, Trump intended to purchase 50 of them for his personal use. He was looking for a means to transport high rollers this is going to be the way to get good clients from New York City to Atlantic City to gamble.
Oh, yeah.
So they built the first two, they built the two prototypes, but when it came time to place the order, there wasn't an order. So somewhere out there in the world, there are these two prototypes So now we have to search out these two prototypes, 1987 Cadillac Trump limousines, before the election.
Yeah.
But Grettenberger doesn't even know what happened to the prototypes, but it sounds like they delivered them to Trump or to, you know, the limousine company.
They said no orders were came of it, huh?
Yeah, Trump documented this in his book, The Art of the Deal, and Grettenberger tells his version of it in his book, Ready, Set, Go, My Life at General Motors, Cadillac, Oldsmobile, Opel, and Isuzu. Grettenberger didn't have a great sense, in my mind, of book titles. Ready, Set, Go sounds good, but My Life at Ready, Set, Go, My Life at General Motors, Cadillac, Oldsmobile, Opel, and Isuzu.
A long title.
So my life through five cars, right? My life, I would have something snappier. Ready, Set, Go, 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 Go. Put yeah. five goes in there, and then as a subtitle, you can put, you know, by Grettenberger, president at General Motors, Isuzu, Cadillac, da 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 da. I think that's what I would have done. So, any Cadillac stories for us this week, Mike?
No, no stories. We did have, since I was on here last, they had street races in Coffeyville, Kansas. You know, the Street Outlaws, it was a similar deal to that. And there was...
Street Outlaws is a reality show about, like, small clubs that do street racing, right?
Yes, it's mostly centered around a group in Oklahoma City.
Yes.
And so they had this similar thing going on in Coffeyville, Kansas, which is 45 miles away from me.
Good.
There was a... CTSV there. So they have no lights. It's just, you know, wave your arms or turn the light on. And it outran some Z06 Corvette, but I don't know what year of Cadillac it was.
Right.
I saw it sitting over there, but I didn't get close enough to it or even don't know how to tell the 16 model from a 15.
Oh, so they look pretty different.
Well, I haven't seen the 16. I may have seen one, but I didn't know what to look for.
The only complaint I have about the 16, the big difference on the 16, both the ATSV and the CTSV have vents in the hood.
Mm-hmm.
In 16. In 15, they did not. So, you know, it's a 16 if it has the vent in the, you know, in the actual top of the hood, right?
Oh, okay.
The 15 has a power bump, but it doesn't have a vent. And
right.
Now, on the side of the CTSV, there's actually a vent behind the front wheels also. And then they have the V emblem going into that vent. On the new one. Now, my complaint about the CTSV, and I know this is petty, but that emblem... doesn't look like it's on straight to me. It kind of is at a downslope going into the side cut. It's hard to explain, but
something I'm gonna have to start looking
at. Yeah, let me see if I can find an image of it. Well, what it is it's too square with the design of the car is a bit of a wedge shape going downhill toward the front, right?
Right.
And I think the emblem is too square with the slope of the wedge is the issue. But because it's too square with the slope of the edge, then it's not too square with the bottom edge, which is flat. So in other words,
it's the not body line on the bottom.
Right. So in other words, the fender is sloped down like this. The rocker panel is flat, and the emblem is on there to match the top of the fender, which makes it look out of line with not too square with the rocker panel.
So the wedge the emblem needed to be wedge shaped.
Yeah, there's no. I think Cadillac would say there's just no pleasing some people, but. I was trying to see if I could get a good picture, but Cadillac's not showing me. I went to the Cadillac site, which you'd think would have plentiful pictures of CTSVs, wouldn't you? But they have kind of...
You don't get it fine zoomed in very much on the Cadillac site, do you?
Yeah. Whoop, that one's a video. I didn't want a video.
I was hoping to have a Cadillac story for you. I was trying to get a race with a Hellcat while I was over at the street races.
704 horsepower versus, you figure yours is doing 525 or so?
Right at 500.
Right at 500. So you're giving away 200 horsepower before you start, and he doesn't weigh that. He weighs 400 pounds more than your car, right? No, your car's an XLRV, so he probably weighs 600 pounds more.
Yeah, I would have said 500 or 600. Yeah.
Yeah. But he wouldn't run?
No, he wanted to talk, but he didn't want to actually do it, I guess.
What's the point of buying a Hellcat?
I think it's the status, maybe. I don't know.
I think they're going to take away his Hellcat card.
Really? He was going to beat me because when I got there and saw his rear tires, he had some drag radials on it, and I thought he was just going to have the tires that came on it. We were going to do a quarter mile for $100 or eighth mile for $200. And I don't know. He never would do it.
Wow. Well, huh?
He just missed his chance to get a dollar or two.
Must not have had his money in his pocket. Or he figured you had some story to go with, you know, had a bottle in your car that you weren't talking about.
That's always possible. I really don't know. I just can't imagine why he wouldn't race. But we didn't. Much as I wanted to.
Well, so you win, right?
Well, yeah, there you go. I'm going to have to just spread it like that.
All you got to do is run without him and you win.
Yeah.
If he won't come.
I never thought about that.
Yeah. Now, I have been researching where's the good driving roads. And so I think I have a good driving road picked out. And so I'm going to go do some PDR video next opportunity and see if we can get some curvy, windy kind of area to run the ATSV in. And then I also would like to get some performance numbers on it just to see, you know, how it does under Texas conditions.
You intend to get it to the track sometime?
I would love that, but what I would really like is to be alone on the track, right? And just...
So if you crash, it's only you.
I'd like to rent out the whole track and just be there, but that's not the way you get to go do. You need to go... for a club day, or you know, you have to get involved in an opportunity where people are going to the track. So
you could go pay some money and drive one of the Cadillac's cars, and then you wouldn't have to worry about it if something happened to it, right?
Oh, I'm not worried about it if something happened to it. I would just enjoy, you know, doing some laps in the car to get used to it and to see how much, you know, what the difference, which of the different settings is best, and just to run some comparative laps with a performance data recorder and so on.
Right.
But
I'd like to do that deal where you get to go with a professional driver and they teach you how to drive it.
Yep. And you got to wear your helmet.
Yeah. Not so fan of the helmet, but yeah. Hey, whatever it takes, right?
Yeah, so after I think about, you know, the more I think about that, the more I think what I probably want is just like this private curvy road somewhere that I can map out a regular route so that when I want to take the car out for a drive, then I know the right area to go drive in, right? Where it's got a pretty blue bonnet along the way and forest land and a curvy road.
So you would... continue down this road multiple times and see if you could do better at it, or?
Yeah, I've done that before where I went to university, there was a tight curvy road out to the lakes. It wasn't so much a time trial as it was just trying to see, you know, how well you could do through the different curves. But with the PDR system, what it'll actually tell you is what your speed was through every, it maps out the curves for you and will show your speed through each curve.
Right.
So I think you really could do comparative, you know, comparative routes both in both directions, or pick out a big oval, you know, a 5 mile oval, and run it that way. Within the speed limit, within the laws of the state, within conventions.
You can get a ticket within the speed limit.
Yeah, so we don't want that. We don't want to stack up a bunch of tickets, but so I'm hoping to go do that, and then I'll report back how, and that way I'll stake out an area so that next time you're in town, we can go out and have a rally run.
Yes.
The important part to these is you want a really curvy road that also has a barbecue place along the way.
Yes, on the return trip.
Yes, exactly. And so, but, you know, I live in the city or near the city, and so I need to find somewhere that's within range where I don't have to drive 4 hours to get there. And that's what I'm hoping that this is. The motorcycle riders are writing about this is a nice tight road that makes a fun motorcycle drive. So I'm hoping to get there before it gets civilized.
Right.
Because this area where I live now was the northern end of Plano one day, you know, when we moved in here 20 years ago. But right. Now it's the middle of Plano.
Right. I know you didn't have your XLR that long, but I took mine to the Corvette homecoming that one year. And they had a nice place to go on the curves and hills. And we had a big snake.
When is a parade? Yeah. Yeah, that seems fun.
They drove them quite spirited, you know, but of course somebody might be in front of you that's not quite as spirited as you either.
Yeah, I can't take a week off for it, but some of the guys are talking about going on the Hot Rod Power Tour this year in June.
But I just was on the whatever that Cadillac forum is, and I saw they've got a guy running a 10-something or other in his ATSD.
Nice.
Yeah. Pretty impressive.
Just with recalibration and a downpipe, or what's he done for it?
I can't remember, but it was a downpipe and a tune, and there was something else. But there was nothing getting inside the motor or anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw one of the things they were doing is they changed the cams out because they said at high RPM, the fuel pump wasn't getting the right signal, and the fuel pumps, it had something to do with, it's not that they were changing the lobes of the cam, but it's like something having to do with the fuel pump was also on the cam.
Oh, really?
And so they were changing the cams out to affect the fuel pressure. So I'll have to go back and read more about it. It all sounded like way too much trouble to me, but okay.
Somebody was having a...
But do you want to go fast or not? So
I want to, but I don't want to buy it.
Now, the new Corvette, let's talk about that a moment. The Corvette, the Zora, they're talking about coming out with a mid-engine car that will be a Corvette, but not the Corvette. They'll still have the current Corvette, but maybe they'll have extend the brand and have a Corvette Zora in addition to the Stingray.
Would this be a like a Hennessy or something, or is this going to be from Chevrolet?
$150,000 car from Chevrolet.
Well, they're going to sell it if they make it. There's no doubt in my mind.
Now, what they're saying is it would be a mid-engine car, but this week the rumor was it would have a V6 turbo. As opposed to the LS engines. And I wonder if that's my V6 turbo. They're saying they're going to make 700 horsepower with it, but I don't. GM, unless GM's coming out with a brand new V6 turbo, I think that's the LF4 that's in the ATS-V. They're racing in the Pirelli World Championship. Now it only makes 600 horsepower in that form, which has bigger turbos, but it also is regulated, right? It has air meters on restrictors on it. Now, how do you do restrictors on a turbocharged car?
It must be boost.
So wouldn't that drive your boost up even higher? But yeah, they run 28 pounds of boost. So my car runs 18, and they run 26 to 28 pounds of boost. And make 600 horsepower. I bet they could make a ton more horsepower, because you get these engines, normally you should get 4% more power for every pound of boost. So if they're running another 10 pounds of boost, they should get 40% more power than the 464 horsepower engine, which would give you
close to 200 horsepower, huh?
Close to 185 more, which would get you to 650, right? 650. And they're running 700, so there you go.
There you go.
But, yeah, I think, you know, they took their four cylinders for racing, for drag racing, and pumped them up to 1,000 horsepower. And so once you get into boost, it's just a matter of how much can you give it before it explodes.
Well, how big are those Indy cars? They're little engines, aren't they?
Yes. I think they're 4 liters, right?
I don't know
what the new one is. But I remember when they were making the Series 2 cars, they wanted it to be 4 liters because they were also using it for racing in one format. So that's tonight's quiz, though, is it'll be interesting to see if the Zora does have a turbo V6, if that's a brand new engine. And, you know, if it is a brand new engine, that could be the next engine for the next ATS-V.
I just think six-cylinder engine in that vet would be not macho enough, if that's the correct term.
Well, it's just, but it would, the packaging would be good, right? Because it's a mid-engine car, so it would help the packaging. Now, the other thing I would want is, yeah, you'd start with a six-cylinder, but make it into a V12 turbo, right?
Yeah, you know they can't give you everything right off the bat.
A mid-engine V12. Now, yeah. Cadillac has rumored before, if they do come out with a mid-engine Corvette, then that would make a great platform for a Cadillac as well.
Sure.
You know, have it be $150,000 for the mid-engine Corvette, and $195,000 or $200,000 if you want the Cadillac CN version. Now, you remember the CN prototype from 10 years ago or so, and they had that in some of the racing games, and I just loved it. It was a beautiful car on the track, and a lovely car to drive. But it had theoretically a 750 horsepower V12 in it.
I saw a picture of the supposed vet, and it was beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there'll be two, as you say, you know, Ford took applications for who wanted to buy their next Ford GT at $450,000 each. And you had to explain, you know, basically send them a resume explaining what a good guy you were and how much you love Ford, how you bleed Ford blue. But they sold out every one of them. And so I imagine Corvette would enjoy doing that. Just come out with a mid-engine Corvette and sell 1,000 of them. You know, make them a signature line, sell 1,000 of them at $150,000 apiece, making $100,000 of profit on each one.
Yeah.
That's all it would take. Or if they could get, now I saw a video on the CT6 hybrid, and it said, again, maybe 39 miles on battery, and that it would take 5 hours to recharge.
That was a CT6?
The CT6 hybrid.
Oh, I haven't heard about it.
It's a battery electric. They're going to make those in China and then import them anywhere else. So they'll make the hybrid CT6 only in China, only in the factory there, and then import it to the U.S. or the Middle East or Europe. But what it said in the video was it'll have a 39-mile range like the Volt and take about 5 hours to recharge. So that would work fine for commuting for me. I have a 7-mile commute, so 14 miles a day. So, okay. And then I'd never have to go to a gas station again. Actually, you have to watch because your gas can go stale if you're driving one of these battery, you know, extended range electric cars, because the gas stays in the tank so long that it can actually go stale and separate.
No doubt. I suppose they'd have a, you should drive it on gas every so often.
That's what I think, is that you'd have to be careful to drive it on gas on some periodicity in order to make sure that the you kept good gas in it. Well, any other topics you wanted to cover tonight?
I have a question, I guess, about just ask you questions about your ATS. Did you get Recaro seats in it?
No, I did not. I got the sports seats, you know, the default sports seats. If you don't get the Recaros were another $2,200, and I was already spending as much as I wanted to spend and more. But I couldn't see. I was comfortable and happy in the default seats, and so I couldn't see spending another.
What do you think of them now that you've had it for a while?
I really like them. The I was playing with the. So they have, you know, the normal adjustments, and then they also have bolster adjustments where the side bolsters you can adjust to be tighter or looser. And so I was playing with that so that the seat just perfectly fits me, if you see what I mean. And then the other thing, you know how you were mentioning before about how far the seat comes out lengthwise?
Yes. Does it have the where your legs sit on it, it has a piece that comes out?
Yes. So there's a piece right there. I after you had said that, I was playing with my car, and there's actually a handle right there, and there's a couple of settings for the center section of the front of the seat. You can actually pull that out a setting or two settings, or push it back in a setting or two settings.
And have you
used
that? So
it's like you grab the seat and pull it, and it gets longer, or you can push it back and it gets shorter. So I did that and pulled it out as far as that would go, because I need, you know, I have long legs and need a longer seat.
Oh, so you pulled it out and leave it out?
Yes. Yeah, that's what I did.
Did you drive sit in one with Recaro seat?
No.
Because I just remember the CTS that I didn't particularly care for the seats in, and then I sat in a CTS the other day when I drove that ATS, and I don't remember the seat feeling quite the same as it did before.
Now the worth it to me for the Recaros, and this year they weren't ventilated. So in the CTS, in the last generation CTS-V, they were heated and ventilated, but I don't really like the cooled seats anyway. But I thought that was a nice feature that they didn't carry forward into the new ATS-V. But the thing that they could have got me on was if you get the Recaro seats, you could get them in that saffron, the yellow.
Right.
And I thought the black interior with the yellow center seats was really a good look. And so they could have got me that way if they'd shown me a car with the saffron seats, with the saffron Recaro seats, then... But no, I was trying to stay away from the $2,200 charge. So when you and I sat here several weeks ago and we're doing which ATS-V would you get on the shopping site, which is what started this whole buying process to begin with, because I didn't realize I didn't need the track pack. The track pack's actually a trick. Nobody needs the track pack. The track pack's only if you're going to use your car as a track car and nothing else. And so once I got that $10,000 option off my form, then things fell into place. The track pack and the carbon fiber are not required options for me. And so the Recaro seats also fall in that category. No, but I'm very happy with the seats in mine. The only issue I have with mine is it does have a squeak somewhere, and I need someone else to drive it and sit in the passenger seat or sit in the back seat and figure out which trim piece is squeaking.
Well, I'd volunteer, but I'm not getting to Texas.
Yeah, you got to come to town. But the acceleration are terrific. The cornering is wonderful. It tracks well. I love the PDR, and I've been running the PDR as a dash cam every day, just, you know, for my normal commute and so on.
See, the PDR is not going to be a great attraction for me. I would like it, but I won't pay for it. Although that's one of the things you really wanted, right?
Yeah, because I want to go run this curvy road and upload the video, right? But that's the trade for you is don't get the $1,100 PDR, and then you've got more budget for your $2,200 Recaros.
But I'm looking at the suede steering wheel, Recaro seats, and
the Alcantara steering. Right. Now, if the ATS-V had, they don't put the wood steering wheels in the performance cars because the wood gets too slippery. But I would much rather have a wood steering wheel. I just love the wood trim steering wheels like my XLR had. And that was a big selling point to me of the regular XLR over the XLR-V.
Oh, really?
And whenever I would drive it, I would enjoy that wood steering wheel. And my car, of course, has a leather steering wheel with no wood whatsoever. It has carbon fiber trim in the doors and so on, so no wood. But the but I have really enjoyed the ATS-V so far. I was shocked when I went to my cousin Bill's funeral that it got 28 miles to the gallon.
Awesome.
Both ways. And so it took me, I was halfway there. I had to go to Bastrop, Louisiana. But I was halfway there before I realized what setting I needed to set to record the miles per gallon. But the average overall, and this is a 280-mile trip or 300-mile trip in that range each way, but the average overall was more than 28 miles to gallon each direction. And the highest for a 50-mile section, because the metrics in the ATS-V keep up with how you've done over the last 50 miles.
Right.
So the best 50-mile section was 31.6 miles per gallon.
Really? And now, does yours have the 373 gear ratio, or?
No, it has a lower gear ratio. It has a numerically lower gear ratio.
Automatic or the standard?
I want to say I have the automatic. I have the 8-speed.
Right.
So I have the 8-speed, and they use a lower gear ratio with the automatic than with the manual.
And
you know, the normal 3.6 liter gets about that kind of fuel economy. And so you would think if you stay out of the turbo, that the turbo would get about the same as the normal one, right?
Well, obviously that's the case, huh?
And obviously that's the case. But it's rated for 25 miles per gallon.
Right. And you know, I read that on the forum, but where I read about the guy going in the tens, somebody got said it was the first car they've had that got better than advertised gas mileage.
Yes. So go Cadillac.
Yeah.
As soon as you get on the gas, your miles per gallon goes away, right? But the other kind of odd thing with the ATS-V, so it instead of having the set your cruise control on the stock, it has set your cruise control as a rocker switch on the steering wheel, which is fine. But if you just press the right end of the rocker set, the rocker switch, which has the little cruise control symbol next to it, the cruise control comes on, but no speed is set. In other words...
So you have a set button after that.
So the way you really turn it on is you don't press the right end of the rocker switch where the cruise control button is. You push down on that rocker switch, which is set the speed if you don't have a speed set, or take away 1 to 5 miles an hour if you do have a speed set. And you push up on that rocker switch to add, you know, go 1 mile an hour faster, 1 mile an hour faster, 1 mile an hour faster, so you can dial it in. Just like right. You used to do by pushing the button on the turn signal. But right. What surprised me, I couldn't figure out how to get the cruise control to turn on. Because I kept pushing the cruise control button, the icon would come up on the dash, cruise control's on, but the no speed was set, and it would stay on, and the car would keep slowing down. But once I figured, yeah, you push down on that rocker switch. It's not because if you have a speed set and you interrupt the cruise control, you can hit the right end of that rocker switch to turn the cruise control back on at the previous set speed. So I understand the functionality, but if you don't have a set speed, then what they should have done is they should have had turning on the cruise control to set the speed to your current speed, right?
Just by turning it on.
Yeah, just by turning it on. If I don't have a set speed, then adhere to the current speed. But yeah, they didn't do that. But it has a relatively small fuel tank. I think it has an 18-gallon tank. So, you know, I generally use 16 gallons, and so it's a little small that way. But since it's getting good miles per gallon, that's not such an issue.
Right.
Because it's not going to run out of gas so much. Of course, it uses premium because it's a blown engine. But yeah, I love the size of it. I love the performance. I love the looks of it. That I think if I had not gotten the sunroof, that would have been okay with me. That I didn't really care for the sun to get a sunroof. The other thing, the painted calipers, that was another option that I ended up paying for that I wasn't very excited about. But in the look of the car, I think the red painted calipers look better than if they'd been silver. So there's some recompense there. Now, the other thing that almost broke the deal is they had tinted the windows, but they wanted to charge me, you know, $1,000 for that. And so we almost couldn't reach agreement because they had tinted the windows. And
you have to have tinted windows in Texas, don't you?
You have to. And I like the tinted windows. So on, you know, if I were thinking more clearly, the problem was they said it was a window tint and stripes package. And the stripes just grates on my soul, right? Because you're not going to charge me $1,000 for putting stripes on the car. But the car doesn't have stripes on it, so it never got that part of the treatment. So, but the windows are tinted. I did not put the front license plate on it. In Texas, you're supposed to have a front license plate. But I took the car over to the Cadillac dealer and I said, well, can you pick up the tags? And they said, well, you want us to put the tags on for you and wash your car? And I said, yeah, I went, that sounds good. And so I handed the guy the front tag and the rear tag. And I said, you know, I could just screw them on, but I wanted to bring it over because the front tag will need a bracket. And I didn't want to put screws in the bumper because when you do the bracket. And he said, you're not going to put a bracket on this, are you? You know, it's too pretty to put
the front bumper, front tag?
I have a front tag. It's in between the seats.
And it'll stay there until you get told you're a bad boy?
I think so. He said, well, what the other kids do is they stick their tag up in the windshield, like in front of the passenger seat in the windshield. And I said, well, that's dangerous and not that won't help. But mm-hmm. I think that the current ruling in Texas is you should have a front tag, but if you don't, we won't give you a ticket for that reason. Now, if we pull you over for other things, we may add that on the ticket, but we won't pull you over and give you a ticket for that reason. So I think that's their current. The other thing I was worried about is because we use toll tags to park at the airport and, you know, for tolls out on the tollway. And so I was worried that without a front license plate, it would have trouble reading the tolls. But I put a toll tag in it, you know, a sticker.
Mm-hmm.
Next to the mirror. Now, of course, the mirror has this PDR sitting underneath it, and it's a big mirror anyway because it's got the rain sense and then the PDR sitting next to it. But I just put the sticker next to it, and it's read just fine at the airport and so on. So, okay.
That rain sense, is that an option? It looks like it was an option when I started looking at stuff. Like, they must not all have that.
I think if you get the premium, it always comes with the rain sense these days. But when I first had rain sense, there was a setting on the stock where you put it in rain sense mode. Now I think it's like the intermittent setting is the rain sense mode. In other words, you put it one notch up and that's intermittent, but if there's not raining, then it's never, it uses the rain sense to decide how intermittent to be.
Your STS had rain sense?
Yes. Yeah, and my previous STS before that. My STS-V did, and the STS before that did, the 96. So.
I got a, what do you call it? I'm going to send you a site to go to when we get a chance here. Yeah, I don't know how to send it to you.
Yeah, and when we're on chat, what you can actually do is there's a chat window up in the thing that'll let you type in while we're here. So if you go over to the left, there's a blue icon that says chat, and if you click on that, then and you can see there's a little chat window. And then when I type in it, it puts a little thing over my head, right, that says whatever I typed. Maybe it only does that if you don't have chat open.
Oh, my, I think it's down here. Okay. I was looking in the wrong place.
Now, people playing at home can actually send in questions using a Q&A function, and then we can see their questions here in a question bar, too. Anyway, but yes, send it to me however it's convenient, and that will
it's
be
on good. That chat. Can you see it now?
No.
Oh, I guess I didn't pre-send. There you go. It's a link. That's what it was, a link. I couldn't think of the word. Did it get on there now?
Yes.
Okay.
Are you going to go buy this one?
Oh, I'd love to, but, you know. That's the one that had me busy when I got on here.
Boy, one owner, only 365 miles, and they're already selling it.
It's carbon fiber, you know, and all that stuff.
Oh, that's an expensive car.
They had the price on there, didn't they?
You should jump all over that. I know, but they're right. They've taken $12,000 off it, off the price.
See, there's actually I can use a supplier discount on there too. I was trying to think of the word.
Oh, can you? Even though it's used?
Yeah. At least there's one at Frank Kent that was that way, and they told me I could, and they're supposed to call me. If I can, I mean, it's only got 300 miles on.
There you go. Now, does your wife get this one?
She will. It depends what I do. If I trade her car in, yeah. If I don't trade her car in, then it'll be mine.
There you go. That's good thinking.
But I don't know. It's probably just a pipe dream at the moment.
Yeah. You know, I had to hold my breath, I went to three different people to intervene, one of them being you, and every one of them told me, go buy it!
Yeah.
No use at all. No use at all is an intervention. But yeah, that's a pretty car, and it's your color.
Yes, it's my color. And it has all the upgrades that I would never otherwise buy.
Yep, and that's a great price. I think if you'd showed me that when I was buying mine, that I might have gone up and gotten that one. But mine, you know, I had this complicated trade I needed to do, and so I couldn't.
Right.
Couldn't.
I think that car showed up today, maybe.
Yeah.
Probably gone before I get around to trying to buy it.
Black on black. That's your color, though.
Carbon fiber. Yeah, it's
but that one's the automatic. You wanted a stick, right?
Well, like I said, if I was
wife's car.
Right.
Bingo. Yeah, my wife didn't even want me to buy a stick. She wanted to, if we're going to have a car in the driveway, she wanted it to be an automatic.
My wife's perfectly happy driving a standard, but not
yeah.
every day. She's had no trouble driving it. She just don't want to drive one every day.
Yes. Doesn't want to sit there with their foot on the clutch at the light.
Yeah. Anyway.
Mike, thanks for being on. It was good to see you. And good luck with your ATSV purchase.
Probably good luck would mean I won't get it.
And if you guys are watching at home, you want to be on our chat with us. We do these on Thursday nights. It's easy, easy, easy to do, or I wouldn't be able to do it. But the you don't have to have a lot of gear, and you can do it with your phone even. If you tell me that that's what you're trying to do, that I can help you get set up to do that. Mike, thank you for being on. Any words of wisdom for our viewers?
No, I just need more viewers. More participants, I guess.
Yeah.
Not viewers.
Show up and participate. Show
Where'd
up
everybody
and
go?
Participate. I don't know. It's people got family things going on and so on, but I'm glad that you're here. And so thanks for watching. We do these on Thursday night, 7:30 Central Time. We try and go a good 3 minutes, and then an hour later we stop.
Yeah.
So hold on, Mike.
All right.